This is Briar Cloth, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. And we're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Sierra Doctor. We'll also hear from Randy Conan and Whitney Pittman. We'll start with Crop Watch, brought to you by BASF, A Country Farm Credit Services, Prairie Industries, and Bayer Crop Science. I'm here starting off Crop Watch in Edgeley, North Dakota, with Edgeley, North Dakota farmer Mike Brandenburg. Mike, tell me a little bit about what field conditions are like.
Well, Sierra, it's pretty wet out there. In this area, wet anywhere from an inch and a half to a half an inch. So some areas up north by 46 jet area were able to go, but right around Edgeley here, it's pretty wet. And so you got to pick your fields. You got to go around and find out where you can go, and it's pretty slow. But we're picking away at it, doing a little bit here, doing a little bit there. I'm actually getting a load of fertilizer this morning. We're at the fertilizer plant. We're able to do a little bit of that, and so we're trying to seed some corn and some wheat and some beans, and everything is kind of slow.
Yeah, any of your planting plans change at all with how late we're getting the fields?
Well, we're getting to the end of the wheat. I mean, it's really getting hard to seed wheat. We're going to seed a little more just because we got some, but I say that window's starting to close because it's getting to, you get caught in those hot summertime in July and August, and you lose a lot of yield if it gets caught in that hot time. But we're going to seed a little bit more, but they're still focusing on the corn and the soybeans because usually the season runs that way, but we haven't given up yet. But if it rains again, it's going to get harder to seed corn. So we'll
right.
Keep working on it.
Yeah, and I think everyone's pretty thankful. We've had a few good days here to kind of dry out, and hopefully there's a few more in the future.
Yeah, that's what we need. Yesterday, I was driving around the pickup going about 50 miles an hour across the field. My pickup's all full of mud and dirt. That's how we're checking the fields. It's pretty tough out in some of those fields. There's water running off the hills, and it's a mess. It's kind of a mess. That's what we got. But we work through it. That's what we always do. And wait for it's sometimes in this country it's too dry. And so you love the moisture. I just wish it would come at a more opportune time sometimes.
All right. And our second stop here on Crop Watch is with State Senator and Windsor, North Dakota farmer Terry Wanzik. Terry, tell me a little bit about how planting conditions are right now.
Well, obviously their conditions aren't exactly perfect. There's been a lot of rain, and of course we had a lot of snow this winter that had to melt. So we're trying to be patient and hopeful that the day will come where we can, cover most of the ground. Right now it's pretty wet in spots.
What are you all up to today?
Well, today we do have some of our help are out culturing and cultivating, trying to dry the ground out to prepare it for seeding. We want to put some more corn in. We did get a few acres in here before this last week's rain. We've had in our area about 6 inches of rain within a week's time. So it takes a while for that much rain to dry things out.
As far as planting plans, has anything really changed with how late we've gotten in the season? And what are you all putting in the ground?
Well, we actually do have our wheat seeded, the acres we're going to put in. But, of course, over the past few decades, our crop rotation has turned more to soybeans and corn and edible beans. We do have about a fourth of our corn acres in, and our plan is to continue on unless, of course, we keep getting rain and we get into June. That might change to be more beans, but we're hopeful that we can get our original plans done yet, barring the weather.
And for our third stop today, we're in Carrington with Bayer Customer Business Advisor Justin Cook. Justin, tell me a little bit about how fields are looking around your area.
It's been really wet. We've had like 4 to 6 inches of rain in the last 10 days. So field work is just getting started again. And there has been basically nothing done yet.
And what do you have doing today?
We are putting a plot in over by Goodrich.
Alrighty. What kind of advice have you had for farmers as we've come up along here and later in planting?
We are advising people not to be switching corn maturities, and the corn is still going in, and maturities haven't switched yet. And the soybeans, I think everything's still on target for what we were planning.
You know, as far as getting fertilizer applications done, are farmers wrapping that up or just starting?
The fertilizer just started again yesterday, so the spreaders are going, and they're able to start working it in again ahead of the corn planters.
You know, you mentioned switching corn maturities earlier. Is there a certain turning point where farmers might need to start looking at other maturities if it gets too late?
Yes. I would say by May 20th, guys are going to start backing down maturities from 89 down to 86, possibly.
And what kind of products do you think are successful that Bayer might be able to offer this season?
Yeah, we got a lot of 3648 going in the ground, 3185. We have some new ones, but they're limited supply. But that's some main ones around our areas, 3648 and 3185.
And Justin, what all areas do you cover with Bayer?
I cover up and down the 281 corridor and east and west, but from basically Devil's Lake down to South Dakota.
And how has planting conditions really varied across that region?
So, yeah, it varies a lot. If you get north of Carrington, probably 20 miles up toward Devil's Lake, they've been going pretty good there. They've been missing the rains. So I think a lot of guys are done with small grains, corn. There's a lot of corn that's been in the ground. And then you get south of Carrington, Jamestown south, it's going pretty well down there too. There's pockets that have been missing the rains.
Thanks, Justin. That was Bayer Customer Business Advisor, Justin Cook. And thanks to all the farmers that stopped and chatted with me here for Crop Watch. Crop Watch, of course, brought to you by Veristo Herbicide from BASF, A Country Farm Credit Services, Crary Industries, and Bayer Crop Science. Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Scattered rains expected across much of the northern plains beginning Wednesday and continuing throughout the weekend. World Weather Incorporated says Wednesday will have the best chance for rain. More scattered light rains are expected next week, with planting conditions continuing to improve. River levels in eastern Dakotas and northwestern Minnesota mostly at minor flood stage or below. Overnight temperatures expected to dip into the mid-30s and lower 40s Thursday and Friday mornings before warming to the 50s by Monday. Daytime highs will be in the 50s and 60s by Thursday before warming to the upper 70s and 80s throughout the weekend.
President Joe Biden, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, and other congressional leaders will meet again today to discuss the debt ceiling. Biden is scheduled to travel to Japan later this week for the G7 summit, and the two sides do not appear close to ending the stalemate.
Paradigm Futures market analyst Kent Beadle thinks the supply side of the vegetable oil market is pulling this soybean market lower.
Just disappointing amounts of expansion in the veg oil area, where, you know, it had been assumed that 50 to 60 cents was an area that was going to hold for the refining of soybean oil into renewable diesel, and we just haven't been seeing the expansion quite as quickly as everyone thought. And so with the with the large U.S. domestic crush, we've been putting more oil on the market, and we're now underneath 50 cents a pound.
And we also had a record April NOPA crush as well.
It was actually about 1 million bushels lower than anticipated, but still a record number for April. Been just a real, real tough go here with the with the higher Brazilian crop, and interestingly enough, we seem to not be paying too much attention to the size of the Argentine crop, but the USDA didn't do the market any favors when it left that production unchanged at 27 million tons on Friday, when you've got some of the privates as low as 21.5 to 23 million tons.
As we work our way closer to June, EverAg market analyst Cole Adams says weather is the major market focus.
Yeah, so planting progress becomes the main focus as we move forward. Also, keep in mind that on Friday is when this grain corridor ends between Russia and Ukraine. Right now, I'd say it's kind of up in the air whether anything will get renewed or not. So certainly keep an eye out for that in the coming weeks if that gets renewed or not.
Following a year of record farm income supported by higher commodity prices, Minstar Bank Senior Vice President Cantisi says supply may be driving corn and soybean prices lower for crops planted now.
So the end result that kind of hits bottom line for farmers and others is kind of projecting the national average farm level corn price during the 23-24 marketing year for both corn and soybeans to drop nearly $2 a bushel. That marketing year runs from September 1st of 23 till the end of August in 24. So it's kind of for the crop that we're putting in the ground right now what the anticipation is.
TC says producers are hoping for a late spring price rally.
We start to get in areas where we're at break-even levels or maybe a little lower. I think in our area, if you figure land costs in and all the costs of production, most farmers probably need $5 to $5.50 per bushel at what their planned yields are to kind of break even. And they probably need $11 to $12 a bushel for soybeans. So we're kind of right at or maybe even a little below break even if they got pretty high land rent costs. So I think there is some concern. I think the hope out here is that we get our usual late spring, early summer price rally.
Mike Carter will serve as the new chairman of the board for Potatoes USA through 2024. Also serving on the Wisconsin State Potato Growers Association, Carter aims to continue collaboration and teamwork within the potato industry. Leah Halverson of Grand Forks, North Dakota, will serve as co-chair of the Domestic Marketing Committee for the organization. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Well, as of May 1st, U.S. hay stocks were down 13.4% year over year, down 26.4% from the 10-year average. Drought in the southern plains continues to steal the hay stocks. Kansas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Texas accounting for 25% of the hay stocks on average and are down almost 45%. Hay stocks in North Dakota are up over 300 tons. Minnesota has over 200 tons more hay stock than in 2022. South Dakota is up over 150 tons.
Application of urea can be subject to ammonia dispersion after a few days if rainfall doesn't move it into the soil. NDSU Extension Soil Specialist Dave Franzen has some tips for urea application.
So here we are in another year that it looks like it's going to be just a little late-ish. So we should be used to that by now. If you're putting urea on, it's important, unless you're putting it down at least 2 inches deep, that you use a proper urease inhibitor. The most common one and the one that has the most effectiveness, I think, is the acronym is NBPT. There's also a similar product in PPT, which is second ingredient in BASF product Lemus, but there's not that much of it used around, so NBPT is the most important thing.
Checking markets before we leave you this noon hour, we're seeing July wheat in Minneapolis 2.25 cents higher, 875.5. September's up 2.25 at 877.25. Chicago July wheat is down 14.75 cents at 645.75. Kansas City July wheat down 5.25 at 893. July corn 12.25 cents lower at 580.25. December's down 10 cents at 505. July soybeans are down 39 cents at 1361.75. November is down 28.25 cents at 1203. July canola is down $1.40 a metric ton, $729.30 Canadian. June live cattle down 62 cents at 163.70. August is down 42 at 162.32. May feeder cattle down $1.05 at 205.45. August feeders are down, 7 cents higher at 231.15. June hogs 82 cents higher at 86.97. This is the Red River Farm Network.